Hello. My name is John Smetanka, and the name of our program is With Respect. Today's guest on With Respect is Dr. Don Maley. Don has a wide range of history with music. Among others, he is the conductor of the St. Joseph, Michigan Municipal Band. We're going to be talking a lot about his own background and about the history of the band. But it is one of the unique groups that we have in southwestern Michigan, northern Indiana, that brings a level of peace to a very troubled world. Music does have its charms to soothe the savage breast. Don Maley, With Respect. So, Don, how are you today?
I'm fine.
Good, good. Don, all right, first question. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin.
Wow. Where's that?
About 15, 20 miles south of Wisconsin Dells. A lot of people know where Wisconsin Dells
Absolutely,
is.
Absolutely, yeah.
In Wisconsin.
So, what was your family like? Father, mother, brothers, sisters?
I have one brother, older than me, and he was kind of like my model in the music business because he took piano lessons when he was in first grade.
Oh,
so
wow.
Guess what little brother had to do?
So you mimicked him going on through. Right?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. So how about your parents?
My parents were both musical. My mother sang in the church choir, and my dad sang in the church choir. And I remember early, they would have to go to church choir Wednesday night rehearsals. And I would just have to go to church with them because they didn't get a babysitter for me. They took me along. And I would just crawl on the floor underneath the church pews and have fun while they practiced in the choir.
You know, those were days when kids could kind of go off on their own. There was not constant helicoptering. But having your parents there and you there was also save money on babysitting.
Absolutely.
So You know, it's interesting, but a lot of the musicians that we have had on this program have started with their parents being in church choirs.
Hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And, or they themselves started their work in church choirs. So there's, and I don't think it's any conscious or unconscious choice on my part. I think it's just that is a place where many people got their start back 20, 30,
Absolutely.
40, 50 years ago.
Even today, some of our fantastic pop singers have roots in their church choirs.
Yeah. Some of the Motown singers got their start.
Exactly.
And I'm just trying, as I say, lots of people. But what did you do? What was your start in music aside from mimicking your brother?
Well, it was, I didn't really necessarily enjoy the piano lessons first, but I kind of got used to it, and I really enjoyed piano.
Mm-hmm.
Piano lessons were great, but I was a secret piano player. All the way through grade school, I didn't really tell anybody I could play piano.
Why?
Well, I don't know. It was maybe, you know, not like the football player image, the basketball player image.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of withdrew sharing that with anybody until an interesting thing happened at eighth grade.
Okay.
Eighth grade teacher said, as we were getting our organization for the graduation from eighth grade, she said, would anybody be willing to maybe perhaps play a piano solo or something? And I don't know why, I came out of the woodwork and I raised my hand and volunteered, just like that. A total change in my life, because after I played that little piece at graduation, the girls took more interest in me. I said, I think music is all right.
So did you learn any other instruments besides the piano?
Yes. When it was time to take a band instrument, I chose the trumpet. And it was, I didn't take any trumpet lessons. I just learned from the school lessons. And suddenly I just kept getting higher and higher chairs in the band position. And I went right to first chair because of piano. I could read the notes, and I didn't just have to push the first and second valve down to get that note. I knew it was E, and mm-hmm. it was this way. Mm-hmm. And so I had an advantage. And so I developed a lot of respect for piano. I call it the king of all instruments.
Why? Why is that?
Because, you know, you have a guitar player. I can't actually play guitar. I respect guitar players very much. But you have a guitar player. You have a trumpet player. You have a violinist. They play one note at a time. And in piano, you don't just play the melody with your right hand. You play an accompaniment, like the guitar chords, mm-hmm. in your left hand. And you put them all together, and you have a lot more potential, mm-hmm. musically.
All right, I'm going to just take one digression, because there is one instrument that I think takes even more skill, mm-hmm. and that's organ. You have those both hands working.
Mm-hmm.
You have different stops, little
yep.
different
Absolutely.
Ways of changing the tone.
Right.
And then your feet are going.
That's exactly right. And I was organist too.
Oh.
My brother went to organ and played organ in church, and so he taught me organ, and I played organ in our church too. So, and I must tell you a wild thing about the first time I tried this, because, you know, the right hand and the left hand is tough enough on a piano. Because to do both of those at the same time, reading different staves on the music, is quite a task. And then when you put the organ, your feet have to play a pedal keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the first time I had a lesson with my brother, it was interesting because my right hand was fine, my left hand was fine. And then when I started to add the feet, in about 10 seconds, I was playing the notes on the feet with my right hand, and my left hand was going to the feet. It was a mess, because you're trying to read three different lines of music, feet, left hand, right hand, all together, and it takes a lot of coordination.
You know, when I was in high school and college, we had a couple of guys who were really very good organists,
mm.
And they, it was obvious, I was in a seminary, so somebody had to be able to play the organ. But in the in listening to them and watching them, that's where I never played an instrument,
mm-hmm.
But I could watch them, and the very thing that you're talking about is their hands flying in some different directions,
absolutely,
their feet going, and then having at the middle of all this to change the levers,
yes, exactly,
the stops,
exactly,
and change, make completely
amazing.
Different sounds.
Amazing,
it is amazing.
And sometimes their right hand and left hand are playing different manuals of the organ.
Mm-hmm.
The big organs have two or three or even four manuals.
Yeah, and that's the whole different keyboards.
Yeah, exactly, which has a different set of sounds.
My father-in-law had a love for and played the organ,
mm.
And was very good. I mean, he was extremely good. But it was, for him, I think, it was relaxing.
Mm.
And I would go crazy trying to match all those hand and foot movements.
Right.
And but the end sound can be very beautiful.
It's phenomenal. Right.
There was a piece that two of these guys in the seminary played. It was a Bach staccato and fugue.
I'm thinking that.
Yeah, and it was marvelous,
yes.
All right? And that piece kind of stuck in me as the ultimate kind of piece of organ music I
mm-hmm,
love to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to be in London many years ago, mm. and I was just touring around this one day. I was studying there, but this one day I took my lunch hour and went over to St. Paul's Cathedral and decided to climb up into the dome.
Mm.
And it was about noontime. And there was, by the time I got to the upper part of the dome, there was an organist playing Box to Cabin.
Oh my gosh.
And I just, it was wonderful. The sound resonated in this huge church and up in the dome, and I was just mesmerized. Absolutely, the most beautiful thing I've ever heard with an organ. Just great. But at any rate,
wow.
So I'm now counting piano, organ, trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else there?
Well, as far as, in studying to be a music teacher, you pretty much have to learn them all.
Mm-hmm.
Not professionally, of course. You don't have time, but I can make a sound on most of the instruments.
Well, I could too, but it wouldn't make any sense. There wouldn't be any beauty to it.
I said a sound. I didn't say a great sound.
All right. So you're talking teaching. Where did you go to school?
I went to school at Church College my first year at North Central College in Naperville, Illinois. And I was actually starting out to be an engineer. Can you believe that? I loved science. And when we would go shopping, I'd always go to the Popular Mechanics store, Popular Mechanics magazine, and read all that stuff while my mother shopped. And so I was into science big time. And I thought, well, I'm going to be an engineer, a rich engineer. And so I went to North Central College, and I took all the chemistry and the calculus and all that, and calculus almost killed me. Because I was pretty good in math, but, this calculus class, I really had to work hard, and I got an A-. And then my roommate, who studied half the time in calculus, got an A+. And I thought to myself, I think somebody up there is trying to tell me that maybe I might not be a rich engineer. And so then I decided to switch to my other great love in life, and that was music.
Why? What was there about it, aside from mimicking your brother?
Mm-hmm.
What's so big about music for you?
Well, it's another world. It's another world of expression. It can move people. It can mend your emotions. It really says something beyond the word in a book.
You know, it's interesting because recently we've had a guest here who was a mathematics professor. Hmm. And when she talked about mathematics, she talked about it is the language of God, is what some ancient person had said. And
sure.
She agreed with it. She said, this is how God speaks.
Hmm.
Now, I'm not sure about that because God apparently is not talking to me because I cannot understand math much. In fact, all right, I studied statistics once. I had to do a makeup course in statistics.
Mm, mm-hmm.
I got to the about three classes into it, and I realized that this professor, who is really an econometrician, there was no bond between him and me, none, zero. I did not understand a word.
He was in another world.
Saying. So one day he came in, and I thought I was the only one in the class who didn't really get it. So he came in one day, and without saying anything to the class, he just started writing an equation across three blackboards and down two more. And he got to the end, and he ran up to the front of the room, and he said, "You got it?"
Oh, my gosh.
And I looked at that, and I have the slightest idea what he's talking
doing.
About. And I looked around, and none of the other people did. And
the majority.
He looked at us, and he said, "You don't get it."
Oh, gosh.
And he was hurt.
Sure.
And he turned around, and he looked at the board, and he said, "Oh, my." And he ran over, and he changed an X to a Y.
Oh, my gosh.
On one little part. And then he turned around, now really eager. He says, "Now do you get it?"
Oh, my gosh.
At that point, the whole class was just lost. But at any rate, so I understand about this professor, this woman,
mm-hmm.
lives in the world of mathematics. She loves it since childhood. Mm-hmm. I have talked to so many people over the years on this program, and whether it's music or it's writing, or in her case, mathematics, mm-hmm. or another case, science. Their people have a particular area that once they find their passion, that's it. That is their world, and they love it. So
I think that's true.
And that's hearing for this.
I think that's very true. Yeah.
So you learned every instrument. You went to North Central College. For 1 year.
Then I switched to music and went to University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee because they had a really better school of music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I switched to music for my last 3 years of college, and I graduated from there. And then I taught a little bit to see what the world of teaching music is really like. And, I got to back up a little bit. One thing, when I was in music, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to major in music and I'm going to be a trumpet soloist like Doc Severinsen. Because I love
Doc Severinsen was good.
Oh, yeah, he is good. And so I love to perform, so I'll just be a trumpet soloist, you know, or a piano soloist or something like that. Then I realized that on my best day of trumpet playing, it's like Doc Severinsen's worst day of trumpet playing. And then, so I decided, you know, it would really be tough to really be a top trumpet player competing with all those fantastic people. And so I said, well, if I can't be a performer, maybe I'll just be a music teacher and bring the excitement of music to other people in my life as a teacher of music.
All right, we're going to take a break right now. And we're talking to Dr. Don Maley, who has a wide range of ranging background in music. We've seen that he's a performer. He learned various instruments. And now we're talking about him becoming a teacher. So we're going to take a break right now. This is John Smetanka, and we're on With Respect, and we'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Dr. Don Maley, who is a teacher, a performer, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, but also he is a conductor of bands and musicians. So, this is John Smetanka. So, Don, what got you, where did you go with your teaching to start with?
Well, I taught at Lincoln Junior High School in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I was the band director there, and that's how I got my start, teaching junior high band. I remember the day Kennedy was shot, and everybody was going to the news, and I went down to the janitor's room, and we just listened to the radio about all the news of that tragic event. I remember that.
It's interesting how people, all talk about this. How
Where were you then?
Where were you then?
Yeah.
But you happen to remember that.
Yep.
I happened to be just coming out of lunch.
Yep.
And I remember everything that happened that afternoon vividly.
Yeah.
But so you taught high school, but you're not, what you went on from there? You taught.
Went
more.
On that from there. Then after I was promoted to the senior high school, Tremper High School. And I was the band director there for several years. And during that time, I had Doc Severinsen solo with my high school band.
Oh,
can you believe that?
All right. Your idol
my great idol. My great idol. And I'll never forget that he, this is true professionality in a trumpet soloist. He had a terrible backache. It was splitting. And during our break, after we practiced our solo with a band, and then we would take a little break and come back and practice it again, we were talking out in the hall, and he says, do you know where there's a good chiropractor in town? I mean, he was in total pain, but you would have never known it the way he played.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. That's professionality.
Yeah, that is. The show must go on.
Yeah, the show
must. But you know, there's something more than the show must go on. There is, again, the love of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It can take you into a different world where pain is suppressed.
That's right.
I've got to talk to you now about the difference between teaching band at the junior school level and then the senior high school level. There's got to be a big difference.
There is a big difference, and I didn't know it at the time because my supervisor of music was wonderful. He just helped me so much in my teaching career. He came to observe me, and I like to make life fun for the kids when I'm teaching them. So if there's some little funny thing I can tell, I tell it. So I told the junior high a little joke, and I didn't have their attention for 20 minutes. And the boss, my boss called me, he says, "Don," he says, "you can't do that to junior high kids. They aren't capable of changing that quickly. If you got them laughing, they will be laughing for 20 minutes, and they will be unattentive, and you just proved it, didn't you?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, yeah." So when you get to high school, though, they're much more mature. And then you can tell them joke and say, "Come on now, let's get back."
And they can focus. And attention span is...
And in fact, different. They'll even focus better because they know you're kind of human. You just told a joke.
That was a joke, guys. You just told a joke. Let's see. The other part is when you're in high school, then you begin to learn about, if I'm really bored, I can... If I get that professor making jokes or getting distracted, then it'll be a lot easier for me.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so... That led to, as you say, moving from junior high to high school. But you're still sitting over in Wisconsin, and how did you get over here?
Well, it turned out that as I was in high school, I had a major decision to make. Because during the high school, during the summers, I went to Northwestern University to get my master's in music. And I thought it was kind of neat to do your master's after you've been teaching, because then you can apply what you learned to the real teaching world. So during that time, I must have done pretty good in my master's in music, because Northwestern granted me a fellowship to continue music in my doctorate. And it was the toughest decision of my life in a way, because I had to give up one of the top high school bands in the state of Wisconsin, Tremper High School, and I'll never forget, I walked into my boss and I said, "Hey, I got a chance to do a fellowship, you know, get my doctorate. Can I come back in a couple years?" And he said, "No. If you leave, we can't guarantee your position in 2 years." That one made it a tough decision. Oh. So do I become a doctor of music, or do I become the band director at one of the finest high school bands in the state of Wisconsin?
Okay, so what goes into making that decision? Because let me say this, that all the whatever hundred number of guests we've had on this program, I think there's only five people that started at age six and moved on a straight line to whenever they became a success in whatever they did, writing or music or whatever. But most people go zigs and zags in their life. And they really sometimes, I'm a perfect example of this. I do what seems like fun at the time. That's how I tell people. It sounds silly, and it's not quite that flip. But the point is, things change in your life. Definitely. You move here, you get married, you have a child, you an illness in the family, a death, job loss, job gain. All of those things force people to kind of make new decisions. But I always am fascinated by finding out why people make the decisions that they do. And you chose to do what?
I chose to leave my position and get my doctorate, because in the back of my mind, I've always admired college work. And I'll go one more level of maturity and work with college musicians. So I thought, well, if I get my doctorate in music, I probably have a better chance, perhaps, of getting a college job somewhere. And that's kind of how it turned out. But ironically, I had good relations with Kenosha, even though they couldn't promise me a job in 2 years at that high school. They allowed me to teach my Lincoln Junior High job again while I got my doctorate. So 1 year I taught Lincoln Junior High band and general music, which was really something else for me because I hadn't taught general music yet, but that's what the teaching schedule allowed. So I taught there while I started my doctorate work, and then I had to take a whole year off. So I only taught 1 year in junior high, and then I got my doctorate, my PhD in music at Northwestern. And after that, then there was an opening at Winona State University. I said, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. Now I can be a college band director. Winona State University in Winona, Minnesota. And the guy that was there was a good friend of mine. And he said, hey, Don, he says, would you be able to take this job? Because he says, I'm going to go to get my doctorate degree. And I'm going to take 2 years off. And he says, just between you and me, I'm never coming back. I said to my wife, it really sounds like a good deal. You know, let's do it. So I went up there for 2 years. And guess what happened? After 2 years, he came back. And I was out. So then I went all over the country trying to find out where I can get a college band job. I had many interviews all over. I ended up at Lake Michigan College.
Here in Western Michigan, Southwestern Michigan.
Yeah, right here. No, not Southwestern Michigan College, Lake Michigan College in Benton Harbor. Yeah, right, right. So then I was there for 23 years.
Teaching what?
Teaching just a little bit of everything. I picked up another thing. I was the symphonic band director. I was the jazz band director. And I also started teaching choir.
All right. Voice.
Yeah. A little bit there. Right. Not too much, but a little bit. And so I kind of branched out a little bit. And I enjoyed it very much. It was fantastic. 23 years was wonderful there. And then I decided that it was really tough at the community college. You have to always recruit a new group of musicians every year, and you're trying to recruit them away from Western Michigan, which is a wonderful school of music, or University of Michigan and Michigan State. And the competition was so intense that I kind of longed to go back to a high school where the kids just, oh, these are the new ninth graders. I didn't have to go out and entice them away from another school. So that was kind of neat. And so now I'm ending up teaching in South Bend, Indiana, where I'm the director of choirs and teacher of piano lab classes at Adams High School. And we just finished a performance last night with the All-City Choir. And I was very proud that our little show choir, has 17 men and 17 women, 34 kids that did a fantastic dance last night as they performed for about 750 people at the All City Choral Festival. Really did a great job. So I'm quite proud that, you know, usually it's hard to get guys in choir. And they want to play football. Well, I've got some people on the football team in my choir.
All right. That's good.
And I always tell the story when I have to recruit a guy into our choir program. I always tell a story about O.J. Simpson. He did all right in football. Okay, and O.J. was a fantastic athlete, and all the way through high school, he wasn't in football as a freshman or a sophomore. In his junior year, I guess the football coach says, O.J., you've just got to come out. You've just got to come out. No, it wasn't O.J. I'm so sorry. It's Peyton, Walter Payton.
Oh, Walter Payton. Okay.
Yeah, Chicago Bears. And Walter Payton answered the coach this way. Under one condition, that I don't have to drop band and choir.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he also took ballet lessons. Now, who ever heard of a football fullback or halfback taking ballet lessons? Well, he had pretty good balance in his running.
Well, and he was a superstar.
Exactly.
Superstar football player all the way through.
Yeah.
So, all right. So now, as I'm counting this, you've got piano, trumpet, organ, you've got grammar school choirs, high school choirs, college choirs, I'm sorry, bands and choirs. But there's something else that we want to talk a lot about, which is an institution, has a great long history. And that is the St. Joseph Municipal Band.
Yes.
So I'm going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about this band and a number of other things dealing with music and band and symphony orchestras and whatnot. But right now we'll take a break. This is John Smetanka on With Respect, and we're talking to Dr. Don Maley, a musician, a music teacher, and a band director in southwestern Michigan and northern Indiana. We'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Dr. Don Maley, who is a band director, but also a musician and a choir director and many other parts of the music profession, teaching and performance that he's been involved in. This is John Smetanka. So, Don, when we broke, we were just talking about how you came over and you had made a 24-year career with Lake Michigan College. Then you kind of regressed, if you will, that it went back in time and became a high school teacher down in northern Indiana. But I want to now talk about the St. Joseph Municipal Band, because that's where many of the people in our area, and I say our area, mm-hmm. which is all of western Michigan, all of northern Indiana, know about this band and participate. What is this all about?
Well, the St. Joseph community can be very proud, because back in the Depression days, almost every town in Michigan was kind of like Europe. You know, Europe has their own opera company in a major town in Europe. Each town has its thing in classical music. In here and in America around the Depression, every town seemed to have what was called a band tax to support their town band.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of cities in Michigan had that. And the St. Joseph community and their support for the arts really came to the fore, because even during the Depression, they refused to cancel their band tax, which almost all the other communities in Michigan canceled their band tax.
Hmm.
That's why we're one of the only municipal bands in the state going, because we have that band tax.
In other words, regardless of how it's funded, mm-hmm. isn't one of the only
bands in the state? I think Mr. Walsh, the former city manager, said there are three cities in the state of Michigan that still have a band tax.
But
we're in the minority for sure.
All right, what is this all about? How long is this band for St. Joseph been operating?
I think it's been over 100 years.
Really?
Yeah. John Howard did 40, and I've done 30, so just between the two of us, we've got 70 years.
Wow.
And it was before that.
Where do you get your band members?
Okay, the band members are musicians that are gotten from teachers in the area, all the way from Kalamazoo to South Bend, to even Chicago. We have some people, LaPorte, Indiana, all around. Music teachers that want to continue playing fun music during the summer when they're not busy teaching, you know. And then the band has developed a reputation. John Howard did a fantastic job. For it's not just your normal polka band, you know, that the older people in the community get together and they have fun playing out of tune together every Sunday afternoon for their fun, right? And we're much, much more than that. We play in tune as best we can, and we try to play a great variety of music to appeal to a lot of different musical tastes. And I think John taught me that, and I tried to continue that with the one-hour concerts, including an awful lot of variety. And then we have developed quite a reputation for having a lot of good musicians, and that draws other good musicians. You know, like this last year, we just added a French horn who played in the military band. And, you know, they are very disciplined and rigorous in the military. When they practice six hours a day, it says something that he wants to come up and spend time to play with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we had one percussionist, a fine lady, who plays the xylophone on that Stars and Stripes Forever that everybody loves when she does that thing on the xylophone. And about I think she's been here about 10 years now, and she called me up and she said, "Hey, Dr. Mealy, I want to know how you get in that band. Does somebody have to die?" And she's been a wonderful member ever since.
How long have people been in your band while you were there?
Well, I've been there
before.
Yeah, I've been there 30 years, and then before that, I was playing trumpet under John Howard since 1971. Okay, and he retired in 87. So I've had those years plus my 30 as conductor, and I think we've set a record this last year with our flute player who's played in there 52 years.
Wow. It's amazing.
Amazing.
That speaks well for the musicians that they find that the group that they're working with and the director are people they can work with. So that's the first part, that we can work together. Mm-hmm. Secondly, it says they're willing to come out on a Sunday and sometimes the 4th of July and Labor Day.
That's right, yes.
And they're willing to give up their day, mm-hmm. two performances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are willing to do this because they like it.
That's right. They enjoy it.
Now, are they paid?
Yes, they are paid. That's why we have the band tax.
Mm-hmm.
We have a different graduating scale. If they're in the musicians' union, they get a little bit more. And if they have a St. Joe address or a Benton Harbor address, they get a little less.
Ooh.
I mean, no. Yeah, they get a little less if they're in town. If they're an in-town union,
okay.
Out-of-town union, student, in-town, student, out-of-town,
okay.
We have all these different grades of pay.
And I presume that you don't sign the paychecks. That's handled by the city.
That's right. That's exactly right. I have to. We do a pay card. We just started a pay card about 5 years ago, and it was a pain in the butt at first, but everybody's gotten used to it now. They know if you don't sign your pay card, you don't get paid. And then we have Thursday nights. They give up Thursday nights, too, so it's not just, oh, we'll work Monday through Friday with no breaks, and then we'll come back and do two Sunday concerts at 3:30 and 7:30. It's Thursday night, too, so that the middle of the week, you got to pretty much be here the whole week.
One of the interesting things that I found is that they're about your band, and I'm going to reveal a bias.
Okay.
All right, my bias is I have heard a lot of bands around the country and around the world,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that irritates me is that when the brass, the trumpet, the trombone,
mm-hmm.
when they are not quite in sync,
mm-hmm.
and you get a very, and I say either on tune, on pitch, or
not together,
rhythm, not together,
yeah, rhythm is
it really grates
jars you,
jars you, and I remember thinking about that when I was at one of your performances a year or so ago,
mm-hmm.
and I remember listening and I thought, they've done it. They've got a single sound mm-hmm. out of their brass,
mm-hmm.
and that's mm-hmm. that's very good.
Because yes, it is.
The temptation for any group of people, whether it's singers or musicians or football players or baseball players, is if you're really good,
mm-hmm.
or if you're not really, you're really
yep,
bad,
yep.
you're just barely in the team.
Right, yeah.
That can create a dissonance
mm-hmm.
where they don't work together. But your band does.
Yep. I think you got that right on. We sure try to every time.
Mm-hmm.
And what is amazing to me is the musicians are such good readers of music that you don't have to work and rehearse like you do with maybe a high school band, perhaps, where you have to tell them, hey, that was the wrong note.
Mm-hmm.
These people hit the right notes all the time. You just got to tell them, that was a little early, like you said. That was a little late. That was too loud. That was too soft. You tell them that once, whereas maybe high school kids I had to tell three times.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true for high school kids and probably adults like me several times. What are the specific, you know, you've got different specialties, special programs that you put on every year, and they're sort of a tradition.
Right.
For example, what are they?
Well, the main tradition is the 4th of July. The 4th of July is very special, and in some ways it's difficult for us musicians because we play a lot of the same types of things every 4th of July. And I've toyed with the idea of doing a completely different 4th of July, but I haven't been brave enough to do it because I know what the audience expects. They expect Stars and Stripes Forever.
Yes, absolutely. You change that and you're going to be in real trouble. That's
exactly right. And so I just go with the crowd because without the crowd, we wouldn't have a band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes two. It takes the performer and the listener that wants to be there because they appreciate the chance to escape. Mm-hmm. Life for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really important that you keep some of that. And then I love to honor the veterans. It's a very special moment. In fact, some people really say that's their favorite concert of the year because I invite the veterans up on the 4th of July to take part of our encore. We always do an encore. And during the encore, we play the last strains of the Stars and Stripes Forever while the men are up there and the women who have served our country. And it's really wonderful to see them. I had a person this last year that came up. He was so proud. He wore his uniform from World War II. He was 96. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Do you know, you see this medal on my shoulder here?" He says, "I was the best sharpshooter in my division." He was so proud of that. And I thought, that's what life is all about. Here he could come to a concert and be honored while people clapped as they walked up as we played Taps. And we honored him and all the other people. And I just love to shake the hands of the people that are up there after the concert and say thank you for the service to our country.
Mm-hmm. You also have a kind of a flip sort of thing when you honor college teams.
Yes.
University.
That we usually do that the last concert of the year on our Memorial Day concert. Labor Day, yes, Labor Day, sorry. Everybody loves their school, and they remember it when they hear that fight song. And so we encourage people to stand up and sing during their fight song. We do this big selection with all the major schools' fight songs. That's a favorite. Everybody loves it.
The audience itself is always interesting. When I have attended, mm-hmm. Sometimes I bring guests of mine who are from different countries, mm-hmm. and other times I just come and I'm fascinated to see how far people have come.
Yes.
Whether they're for visiting somebody else or they just come to see this.
Right. I have found that that's kind of an interesting part of my concert. I've tried to minimize my talking because it took me many years to realize that people primarily come to our concerts to hear the music, not to hear me talk.
Really? Now, that's shocking.
As much as I love to talk a little about and set the mood for the music, sometimes I just can't break away. I have to tell them a little bit about why this music was written or who wrote it or why he was a talented composer and what part of the world he came from, da-da-da-da. I just get into that because it helps me prepare better. I can be more into my music if I have a background. But I realize that the people don't really need all of that. Some of it maybe is interesting. So I'm using less and less. But I still study the notes for me because I like to get motivated for the music. But, you know, a little bit about the music is nice, but they like the music.
So where have you had, what is the farthest group that or person that you've had come to one of your programs?
I think probably the Philippines and China. You know, I started this maybe 15 years ago. I thought we'd start out with a concert to tell everybody, to see where you've all come from. And then we make a little joke about anybody here from Baroda. You know, anybody here from Three Oaks, you know, but then people say, yeah, I'm from Chicago. That's good. That's good. And then I'm from Texas. That's even better. And then sometimes we get people that I'm from Africa.
Huh?
And then nobody else wants to stand up. They don't want to top that. But it's kind of fun. Everybody looks around and sees where they came from for this concert.
You also have special performers. It's not just your band, but you mm-hmm. also have additional performers that come in periodically.
Yes.
And what kind of people do you bring in?
Well, I try to keep it music, you know, because this is a music concert, but I think that It helps the band concert appeal to more interests, more varied interests, because I'll bring a singer in, a fantastic singer with guitar we had, got a standing ovation this last year. I bring singers to the band because John Philip Sousa did all right with that. He would have a vocalist go with his band, and boy, that did add a lot of variety to the program. We're all for variety here, because in 1 hour we want to give as many musical tastes a chance to be satisfied, and when we break it up with having a singer with a guitar in the middle, it just kind of is a relief, you know. Instead of the band playing in your ear for a whole hour, it's nice to have a little variety halfway through the band concert, and then it makes you almost appreciate the band more later.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because if everything is of one, it becomes monotone.
Exactly,
exactly. You got to try to provide the unique, the different.
That's right.
Who is the best or most unusual performer? And I'm going to let you think about this when we take a break.
Okay.
The most unusual performer, or maybe even the best, if you can. I know you don't want to diss anybody, but who stands out in your mind over the years? And we'll take a break right now while you think that over.
Okay.
This is John Smetanker, Ryan With Respect, and we're talking to Dr. Don Maley, who is the director of the St. Joseph, Michigan Municipal Band, one of the few municipal tax bands left in the state of Michigan, and performing together for, we talk, 70 years. This is John Smetanker, and we'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Dr. Don Maley, who is the director of the St. Joseph, Michigan Municipal Band, but in addition to that, is a high school teacher, was a college teacher, was a high school teacher and a grammar school teacher in Wisconsin and all over the place, and music is his name. So, Don, let's go back. I gave you a challenge. Who are some of the highlights of the people that you have brought in? I know your regular band members are all very good and very professional and have in their own lives are very distinctive. But you also bring in extras and to spice up the performances.
Well, we were short a vocal soloist for our concluding concerts of the year, and the one girl that I wanted to have was not able to do it. And she said, but I have a friend who, a friend, okay, so it's a friend, but how well do they sing? And so she said, want to meet her? I said, yeah, bring her up. So she came up, and I said, well, you know, I was doing a few probing questions like, what's your background? And she answered, well, I have my master's in vocal performance from Roosevelt University in Chicago. And I said, are you available for this date? And so she did. Well, we like to end sometimes. The last couple of years we've ended Time to Say Goodbye.
Da, oh, da, da, that da, is da, a da, wonderful
da,
song.
Da, 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 da. You know that one. And that has a special spot for me because I like the song, and it has a kind of a meaning because my wife and I went on a cruise, and when we left the harbor, they played that song on the boat. Time to Say Goodbye, and it stuck in my mind, so I thought that would be a nice way to end the municipal band season each year.
Yeah, it is. That's great.
So we need a really powerful singer who goes up to a high A at the end, and she made everybody rattle when she hit that note. So I think that's probably one of my outstanding ones from this last season.
One of the people you had this season was Megan Jacobozzi.
Yes.
And she was a guest on this show.
Yes.
It was intriguing as to, here is a kid who is 16 years old.
Exactly.
Has a magnificent voice.
Fantastic.
And a great future.
Yep.
But with it all, a very I won't say simple. Simple sounds bad, but a very unassuming manner,
mm-hmm.
and a mm-hmm. nice kid,
mm-hmm.
and a great interview. So you had her on
yes.
this year.
Right.
And you've had, over the years, you've had fascinating singers.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the guitar player.
Yes.
Who did well this year.
Wonderful.
Dan,
yes.
And it does provide a really interesting amount of variety,
mm-hmm.
and the audience appreciates it. Now, where does your audience come from? Now, we already talked about that it's been around, you know, people from Africa stand up,
mm-hmm.
and I bring some people from the Czech Republic and Slovakia
yes.
and other people, and Japan. And
right.
Everywhere. But there are a lot of people there in that audience. Mm-hmm. They're local.
Yes.
What draws them in?
Well, tradition.
Okay.
I've had some people come up and say, we've been coming to these concerts for 20 years. This is the highlight of our Sunday.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of local people, a lot of St. Joe people. In fact, sometimes when I'm walking through town down St. Joe, people will say, hey, aren't you the director of the St. Joe Municipal Band?
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of joke with them and I turn around and show them my back. And then I fake conduct. They said, yeah, we knew we had it right. So there's a lot of local people that support us. And I always say, like John Howard used to say, it's the best free ticket in town for Sunday afternoon in St. Joseph.
For those who have not been there, you have a beautiful band facility
mm-hmm.
right on the river.
It's fantastic.
And you can see the lake and the river. The audience can watch the sunset.
Yes.
The audience can watch the boats come in and out.
Yep. That's
and
great.
It's quiet, except when the trains go over.
That's right. The train goes over.
Every
sometimes
so
during a soft spot in the music, and then the band and I just smile as I conduct. Because we aren't going to stop and wait for the train, you know. And occasionally we have some funny things that do happen. Like I will say a funny little thing at the end of my little introduction for the music, and then some boat toots the horn out there. And I say, see, even they appreciate it.
Yeah. Now, you're not alone in your work. That is, when I'm there, I see your wife.
Yes.
And I know that she is there at every performance that I've ever been
mm-hmm.
and she right. supports you.
Yep.
This is a team, isn't it, the two of you?
It's a real team because, you know, we music people, we know that our spouses have to be half crazy to still be married to us, okay? Because we have crazy, crazy schedules. We're doing gigs. When I was working on my doctorate, I was doing dance band gigs. And so Saturday nights, she would be sit home alone, you know? But when we decided to get my doctorate, there she was. I'll work and put you through. Let's get the doctorate. So she's always been supportive. And without that kind of teamwork, I think I would go crazy. She is a wonderful spouse and very supportive all the time and takes an interest in it, much like I have to force myself to be interested in her floral design, which is she's kind of a genius at that. And she has to put up with my music. But she really loves music, but she has a general
love flowers.
And I love, I've learned to love them because you just have a happier life if you love flowers.
Absolutely.
With my wife. And you, anyway.
That's very
anyway,
smart.
Anyway, you enjoy art.
Mm-hmm.
Art of nature.
Yes, that's right. It was interesting when we were talking, the mathematician and I, we were talking about fractal art. And fractal art is computer-driven art. It's programs that are built on equations. And anyway, the point is that there was a book called Arcadia, in which a young girl was a math genius. This was back in the 1700s. It's
wow.
a great, great play. But When she said to her tutor one time in the first act, she said, you know, you're always talking about the beauty of math, but it's all very stodgy. But can't we have the beauty of a math? Can't we write a program or write a computer or probably math thing for flowers to create them? And in fact, today we do just that.
Mm.
That is, we have fractal art in which equations turn into beautiful things on screens and very eclectic designs. And it's all because they played with computers.
Sure.
It's wonderful. It's beautiful stuff.
That's neat.
But flowers, beauty, art, music, they all appeal to some part of us.
Mm-hmm.
What is that part? When you are most successful,
mm-hmm.
that is when you feel it, don't you?
Yes.
And you can tell when you're on and when you're off. When the band is on, the band is off. Your performer is on and off.
Mm-hmm.
What makes it work? And how do you know it?
Well, as you approach everybody playing together mm-hmm. and everybody doing the dynamics right, you have the most powerful impact with dynamics. Just as if we would talk like this the whole time, life would be a total bore. There's upwards and down. There's more intensive parts and there's more relaxing parts. And music is a reflection of that. It's part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when everybody's doing it well, they kind of sense this excitement of doing a good job. And so my musicians are really appreciative of the variety of music that we present to the audiences, who are appreciative because of that variety. They find something that they like in each concert, and we try to program a lot of variety. And when the audience responds, that is really an extra paycheck.
That comes right into when the audience is receptive.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you feedback.
Exactly.
Whether it's applause to an individual, your xylophone player mm-hmm. in the
Stars and Stripes.
When that person performs, it's if they're doing it well and it's a part of this ensemble, mm-hmm. this beautiful ensemble, stirring march, people do just stand up and applaud.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing with your trumpet players and mm-hmm. your trombones in the same piece. They have a chance, and you highlight them. You bring
yes.
them out, and they get a chance to be out there and get the individual attention
mm-hmm.
that perhaps sitting in the back row they don't get.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But that's part of showmanship, but it's mm-hmm. also part of the band experience or the music experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that, I used to play baseball, and I knew when I was on, I could feel it. And when our team was on, there was just an extra special feeling among the people on the team. We know we're going,
mm-hmm.
this is it, this is mm-hmm. it, we're great. And I watched that with many people in different walks of life, and your bands are a perfect example that when you're on,
mm-hmm.
the audience is a part of you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Don, unfortunately, we have to stop because we're running out of time. But this has been great talking to you about music and bands and your life. It's been very interesting. And the St. Joseph Municipal Band, when do you perform on during the summertime?
We perform from the last Sunday in June, June 26th, I think it'll be in 2018, until Labor Day. And then we have the 4th of July, unless it falls on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But we have an extra concert that week when it's during a weekday. And then we do Labor Day.
Okay. But it's always
Sunday.
Every Sunday,
3:30 and 7:30.
There you go. Two times.
Yep.
All right. Don Maley, thank you very much for being with us. The name of our program is With Respect, and we're on every Sunday and Thursday. And until next time, remember our mantra: if you show respect to other people, they will show respect to you.